The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Believe in Tennessee Football. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurvison. I've got a great one today. Reed Bacon is here with me in Nashville. So we get to banter back and forth and be able to talk to each other face-to-face, finally. Makes for a very fun podcast. We're talking about Walter Nolan moving to East Tennessee, going to Powell. We're talking about SEC Media Day, what Heupel said and why it's important. And some of the recruits. We've got Cam Miller coming on, and about some of the offensive linemen we've had recently, too. So, great podcast. Good fun. Funny stuff. Let's jump into it.
Tie the game. Snap. The kick is in the air, and the kick this time is no, sir, Reed. No, sir, Reed. Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
Looks, loads up, fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught by Tennessee.
Tennessee wins!
Caught by Tennessee, Jawan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch in the end zone on the Hail Mary.
Down at the 35, to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. What did he do? All he did was score. Joey Pitt, touchdown on play number one.
All right, so before we jump into the podcast, got to shout out our presenting sponsor, as always, betonline.ag. You know it. I've said it every podcast. It's the place to go for any of your betting on any sport, anything out there. They got all the news, the stats, the odds that you were looking for. Heck, they got stuff on gold medal things that are going on in the Olympics, baseball that's in full swing, golf, everything. So if you know you're looking to bet on anything, that's the place to go. So you sign up online or use your mobile device and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So that's betonline.ag. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to betonline.ag today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, welcome in, everybody. Have a very special podcast today because my co-host is here with me.
What's up, playa? Oh, this is incredible. It's funny. I'm like seeing behind the scenes here. We talk every week, but then when you open the door to let me in, we like gave each other a hug. And it's like, well, we always give each other hugs. And it's like, I hadn't seen you in so long. And I guess the last time we did see each other is when we went to practice together.
Yeah. That was that long ago. And it's kind of, I am so excited for this because I always feel like it's funnier, we have more chemistry when we're in the same room and we can laugh together than over Zoom, especially.
Yeah.
And I think this will be obvious towards the viewers that this is the best way to do it.
I hope so. I feel like when we're on Zoom, it makes me more locked in. And I mean, like, to my points, and this one might just get caught off the rails, but then that might even be the funnier one.
Heck yeah.
But I will say this.
Bro, we ain't no VolQuest. Okay? Like, we're not the guys breaking the news. People don't follow us for breaking news.
And I'm so glad you said that, because I am going to be making a Twitter account for us. And it's just like, we're not going to be breaking news. Like, we're not trying to, you know, live and breathe on all the recruiting stuff. Like, when someone commits, we're going to look at their stuff. We're going to give our opinion on them, but we're not, you know, every waking second, talking about.
I think that obviously you want to be updated on what's happening as a fan.
Yes.
But we're not, like, I'm not going to be able to get the scoop. Yeah, you know,
we're
like,
not
I'm
trying.
Not Schefter. Yeah. Like, that's not going to happen.
I just feel like what, we just, and that's just, not our personalities either. We just don't, like, really care that much.
No, but if we can give our opinion on the guys, correct. That's what it's like, ooh, that's a different opinion.
We want to be the best breakdown.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And I feel like hopefully the most entertaining, and B, when the season comes around, I do think I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
Because in
Knoxville, that's going to be a lot different than all of our other podcasts, because it's been the off season the whole time.
Yes.
Explaining the game.
Yes.
Why we ran certain plays.
Me and you arguing about the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we have a pessimist over here. Always freaking negative.
The funny thing is I'm very... What's the other one? What's the opposite?
Optimist.
I'm very big optimist in life. Yes. Like, I really am. Like, I'm very, very positive. You can ask my girlfriend, hopefully future wife, very soon.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
Her name's Ariel Page Dory.
I swear.
But no, I'm very optimistic. But I just try to call it as I see it and not be a sheep when it comes to UT. But I will say this real quick before we get started. It's so funny. And this is, no homo. But, like, it's so funny. Every time I see you, I just forget how big you are. And then I'm like, and then I forget that you've, like, lost weight and stuff. And I'm just like, golly, dude is just such a unit. I'm like, I've been knowing you since your freshman year, my sophomore year of high school, but it's just like, I see you, and I'm just like, jeez.
Bro, well, freshman year of high school, when I came in at 5'11", 210,
yeah,
compared to my biggest at 6'4", 330, and now I'm 6'4", like 265.
Dude, you look...
There's been a lot of change.
I know. And you look great. People don't really know this, and this is probably a cool little story, and we actually will tell a story about flag football one day, but when you started playing flag football in Knoxville, just because I guess you had just got done playing, but you had lost your weight.
Yeah, so it was probably the summer. I stopped playing in maybe like a September-ish, and then it was the summer when I started playing. So it had been like 8 or 9 months since I stopped.
Yeah, and so I was living here in Nashville, and you were living in Knoxville. Now we've swapped back, so I'm back in Knoxville now. But you were playing with Tyler and some of our other buddies in a flag football league, and then when I would be in town for the weekends, I'd come play. But I remember, like, I would talk to Tyler. He'd be like, dude, Kyler's, like, incredible to have. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm assuming, like, he's a very good athlete, like, I'm assuming he's great at playing lineman because people can't really get around him. Yeah. And some of the stuff, he's like, no, dude, like, he's going up and mossing on people. He's, like, one of our best, like, receivers if we need to play. And then I would talk to you. And then you'd be like, oh, man, like, I just snagged on these guys. I had a one-handed grab and all that. I'm like, he's very athletic. Like, I know that. And then I went and saw it. And by the end of it, I was like, bro, I ain't joking, Kyler. Like, we're not laughing here. You got to get your agent to get you some tryouts at tight end. And yeah. I was like, I will train you for, like, 6 or 7 months until UT's
the expert here.
Were you at tight end in Nashville? No, I was a trainer, so it's not like I didn't do anything, but I was a personal trainer and I did do some of that stuff. But no, I was saying that more of not my expertise, but my, like, I will literally help you anyway, because I was like, I believe so much that if you had worked on training and tight end drills and stuff, and you had gone to UT's Pro day, like, I don't know why a team would not bring you to camp. I'm not saying you'd make the team or any of that, but, like, they would 100% bring you to camp because, like, you would be an incredible blocker. You're a former left tackle, right tackle, and should have been a guard, but, like, you've been a great blocker, and you're way more athletic than people would ever consider. Like, I guarantee you right now, if you and I went out and ran one-on-ones, like, it'd be very competitive, and that should never be the case because I'm, like, 205 pounds. And I was like, but yet you would still like, you know.
Well, that's, I mean, I used my size when we're playing the flag football, spread out wide, they put a corner on me, and then it was like, Tyler, just throw a jump ball.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to jump over him.
Right.
And I've got these fucking mitts.
But that's the thing is, like, you're athletic enough to play a ball in the air.
Yes.
To make good catches. Like, you're not some big guy that's like, go out there, we're going to toss you the ball up, and then you, yeah, and then you, yeah, and then you do it, and it's like the guy does his best, but he's just like, like, jumping up. Like, no, you know how to position, you know how to go up, like, actually use your hands. And then one time I saw you do, like, I don't know if it was, like, a slant or, like, a dig in the middle, but, like, good cut, came across, blocked out with your body. Obviously, no one in a flag football league in Knoxville is going to be able to get around your body.
Yeah.
Use your hands, make a good catch. And it was just so routine. I'm like, he's just, like, why is he out here? So it's just like, I don't know. I'm always been, like, your biggest fan. I'm like, all right, I'm calling Vrabel. I'm calling John Robinson. We'll get, we'll get you a tryout. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad you're here so you can you know, boost my ego a little bit.
Let's jump.
Appreciate that.
Yes, but, we will.
Well, let's actually jump into, like, Tennessee news instead of just about me and my tight end playing. So first we'll start with Walter Nolan moving old Pyle Panthers here in East Tennessee. We're going to be state champs.
It's gross. So it's funny because all this stuff that we've heard that he was moving.
I know.
And then, like, you know, Marlon Wallace was a coach, and then he leaves, and people are saying he's going to East Tennessee and going to Knoxville and becoming a coach somewhere, and Walter Nolan was following him, and then it kind of dies out, and then it picks back up steam. Like you and I said earlier, like, we're not harping on every message board. We're not watching that stuff. So, like, we wait till something's official. It's official. Like, it's been reported that he's enrolling at Powell.
Yes.
I'm more pissed off that he didn't go to Catholic. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we both went to Catholic. I love Catholic. Biggest Catholic homer there is out there. And it's like, it's just tough because, like, I don't like Powell. There's some schools in Knoxville that I just don't like. And I think the reason I don't like Powell is because during college when I was going back to UT, I was working at a gym in North Knoxville.
Yeah.
And that was right around the time that Powell had a couple good players and they were, like, undefeated. And I think they went to state, lost. I'm happy about that. But they went to state, they lose, and it's like, and then ever since then, they haven't been really good until Coach Lowe came back. And I don't know Coach Lowe. I think he's a very good coach. I've heard some very not good things about him, some sketchy things, why he got kicked out of, or why he got asked to leave Powell in the first place. People who watch this that are Tennessee fans that live in East Tennessee, live in Knoxville there, or
Heard some
right,
stuff.
Right. If you're tuned in to some of the – I mean, Knoxville's a small place.
Which is – I mean, you can honestly say is might be a reason why he didn't go to Catholic because of what recently happened and our coach being let go, you know, the DUIs and you know, just turmoil.
And I'm so happy you brought that up because I'm in a group, a couple group me's, and somebody brought that up when they're like, oh, he definitely didn't want to go somewhere. The coach just got a DUI. Like, that's fair. But, like, and no offense to Coach Matthews, who was the coach at Catholic, but, like, I don't look at Catholic as a Coach Matthews. Like, I don't look at it.
That's
even
true.
Even my favorite coach when we were there, we had Mark Pemberton, and then my senior year, junior year, I had Scott Meadows 1 year, you had Scott Meadows 2 years. Like, that ain't it. Like, it's not about those guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's about the program, the community, everything we've built. Like, it really doesn't technically matter who's there. Like, we're usually still pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Matthews is what it is. Like, I didn't even really like him as a coach that much. And I don't know if I've said on here, but I watched every game his first two seasons because of Logan.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, he was a good coach. Like, he won a state championship or two. I thought we had really good talent. I thought they could have maybe won more. But anyways, I was just bummed that Walter Nolan went to Powell because I'm just being a hater. And they're going to be a good team. Catholic actually plays them this year. So that's going to be tough to watch Big Boy just eat alive.
I know. You're going to have to go to that.
I know. I'm going to try
to. For sure.
I'm going to try to. And then – so, it's when I put my hater rate aside and, you know, and get past, like, me just, like, having a jokingly dislike, you know, a fandom rivalry dislike or whatever for Powell, dislike, I don't like Webb, just like I don't like a couple other schools in Knoxville. It's like, it is a great thing for Tennessee.
Amazing.
Like, we couldn't have asked for anything better.
It didn't matter where he went in East Tennessee. The fact that he's moving to East Tennessee is amazing for us.
Yes. Now, and some people listening or watching might already know reasons. They might be delved in to why he moved. I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I don't know it yet on this one. I will be in Memphis later this week. So I'm going to talk with a bunch of people that I know down there to see what they've heard. Like I said, you guys might already know. It might have already been reported. Not sure why they moved. But like Kyler and I said, it can't be any better for Tennessee. Now, me being a pessimistic about Tennessee, I do think that like it would so be on brand for him to not choose Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the T. Higgins, the Amari Rodgers, the Cade Mazes that were in the backyard and literally didn't go.
And the other guy from Catholic, the offensive lineman who chose Clemson.
No, the guy from Maryville?
No, the guy from Catholic. Brian Tucker?
Brian Tucker, yeah.
Yeah, he was a four-star. I mean, so it's just like, and then some of these other guys, but, and I respect those guys for not coming to UT because we weren't in a position that these other schools were.
No, definitely not.
If you want to win, like, go win. Like, that's what, for me, that's all I care about. For you, that's all you care about. We both love winning. Like, and I know for you it was different. You want to play for your hometown, and I would have chose the same thing. But I can't blame those guys. But, like, it would just be so on brand for him to move to Powell and Heupel, and those guys are recruiting him every day and recruiting his brothers and recruiting the family. And thank goodness we do have Rodney Garner.
I know.
So that's massive. And so it's like, but it's just going to be so on brand that he goes there and we find out it's for family reasons and they wanted to get out of Memphis and live in Knoxville and he still chooses, like, you know, Michigan or something stupid. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So,
it would be on brand. I just, like, I really don't see it happening. I think some of the guys, definitely it's the winning part of it. But I also think it's just like, if you fall off, like, if you don't continuously just on a recruit, just constantly talking to them, be in touch with them, let them know you're, you know, following him, all that kind of stuff, it'll be quick. Yeah. And I think that's why, like, Walter went from his top eight, we weren't in it, his top five, were in it.
Yeah.
And it's just like a little bit of a change, a little bit of talking, because I even went through that with Tennessee for a moment where I was like, where, like, I haven't heard from them in a while.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, and just being like, hey, like, where are you guys at? I haven't heard from you in a while. And, you know, then they started to pick it up a little bit more and call or reach out or send letters and stuff like that. So
did you actually say that to them?
Yeah.
You literally said, hey, what's up? Where are you guys?
Yeah.
Or did you think that they were, like, going to drop your scholarship or something?
No, I didn't think that. I was just like, do you think you have me locked in? Like, do you think, like, I'm just definitely going to go there? Because that's not the case. Like, I need you to.
See, and that's so funny because that just sounds like you saying that coming out of your mouth, like, that's not you.
No.
But these 16 and 17-year-olds do think that way.
But here's the thing is, in my heart of hearts, why I'm reaching out is because I'm insecure and I want to go there.
Yeah.
And I want them to want me to go there.
I know. Yes.
Like, if I look back and really think about it, it's like, obviously I freaking want to go to Tennessee, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My family grew up Tennessee fans their whole lives.
Grandfather.
My grandfather played there. My mom grew up in Clinton. Like, And I grew up in Oak Ridge. Like, it was, like, East Tennessee, ride or die. And, like, I still remember being a kid when Tennessee was so great and, you know, won the national championship and all that kind of stuff where, like, me and my sister would be watching a movie while our parents were watching the game, screaming in the other room. And we're like, hey, can you keep it down in here? We're trying to watch Lion King. Like, shut up. While Peerless Price is scoring a freaking touchdown versus
Florida State. you should have been in the other room going nuts.
I know, but it's like, it's always been ingrained. It's always been there. So it was exciting to get my first offer with, like, Vanderbilt, and exciting to get the other ones. But
wait, Vanderbilt was your first offer?
Vanderbilt was my first offer. Yeah, I mean, talk about, like, going to a good school. And
do
also
you remember
Catholic.
The call from them?
Yeah, your I remember. Call? I remember the day. Oh, the other offers I don't necessarily remember because some of them were just letters.
Yeah.
Some were phone calls, but it was like I didn't even realize the number, just answered it.
Yeah.
But this one, they pulled me out of Spanish class, I still remember, and went to
Coach Branson's office.
Coach Branson's office.
Yeah.
And was with Coach Meadows, and they were like, yeah, we got someone on the phone for you, and it was a head coach at Vandy at that point.
Is it James Franklin?
No. It was a guy before him, old guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he ended up quitting before I even.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. He was there for. I'll remember it in a second.
Yeah. So I remember him being like, "Hey, this is so and so. Like, we loved your film. We think you're an awesome player, and you know you got great grades. You go to a good school, and you know we want to offer you a scholarship to come to Vanderbilt."
That make you tingle in your little.
Oh my gosh! Are you kidding me? I was on cloud nine. I was.
So, I'm there.
Well, first off, when you think of recruiting, you think, okay, I'm gonna get the small ones first, and then it'll build and build and build. And my first one is a D1 school in the SEC. Great education. I'm like, oh my god! Like, I made it.
Yeah, and this was. This was like after our junior year or after
January or February of my junior year.
So I was still at school there.
You were still at school there. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was.
So your junior tape got out and they were first.
Because I made the junior tape and we literally mailed it to all the schools. Just mailed it.
How many did you send out?
40 plus. I sent it everywhere.
And Vanderbilt was one of them.
I sent it every SEC school. Like four or five of every other conference.
Yeah. The funny thing is that people don't, it's so funny to think back on stuff like this, but like you weren't even starting on defense. And it was just so, it was just so stupid because then you got in the Morristown West game, our senior year playoffs, and just like ate, like literally ate alive.
The two starts that I had were Morristown West playoff game and Webb. Because that's when swine flu came through.
Yes,
and everybody was sick, so I had to start.
Yeah.
I had 8 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble versus Webb.
Ah, hold on. That was a hashtag. Because your boy coming through.
Okay.
That was because it was we each had that sack together, and it was a forced fumble. We didn't recover it.
No. But
we should have.
So I think you got the forced fumble on that.
Oh, did I?
I got it on a different play. Where I just like was randomly trying to tackle and hit the ball. Didn't even mean to.
Yeah.
Literally didn't mean to.
And then
Morristown West, our first playoff game, I got 13 tackles, a forced fumble and fumble recovery, and I caused an interception by hitting the quarterback because he threw it. Tyler picked it.
Yeah.
I won player of the game.
I know, because you went up to do the.
I went up to Jimmy Hines and John.
I remember that too. I remember I was locked in on like what I was trying to do in my position and stuff, but like it's sitting here now, I'm like, I loved our coaches, but it's like, what the F is going on? Like, why is this man not starting? Why is he not even rotating? No. And then I also remember it was freezing at Morristown West. My swag was on point. Had the spat.
That's the only thing that mattered.
Had the finger tape, did all that stuff. And I remember seeing you, and you had long sleeves and cut, low cut, no socks, no swag McGee out here just dominating the game as a junior.
That's right.
But it like, yeah, and I forgot that. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, the Webb game, that was tough. It was a tough week.
Tough loss.
Yeah, I remember, dude, I remember Joey Gaston shattering his leg on that Wednesday. That was insane. And Joey Gaston,
gross.
Great player.
Great player.
Yeah.
Love Joey. Great friend.
Yeah, went on to Navy and started 2 years.
Yes.
Very productive. But, yeah, it was just so funny to think that, like, you didn't even play. But, anyways, we got sidetracked. So, I can't imagine that feeling, though. Because I remember getting called from literally, like, D2, D3, and like when those guys would talk to me, I was just like so I couldn't imagine just that first.
It was out of nowhere.
I know.
It was out of nowhere.
I did not
expect this to happen. I was just like.
You did kind of blow up real quick.
In my head, I was like, you know what? I'll probably go to Tennessee. I have to take out loans and stuff like that. Like, or I could, you know, play at a Emory and Henry or Lindsey Wilson.
Oh my God.
And like, that's what it was going through my head. Like,
after
my junior year. Cause I'm like, I'm not like, this is my first year starting. Like I did play well, but in no way was I like, oh, I'm D1.
Yeah.
And then that's the phone call I get from Vanderbilt and they offer me a scholarship. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I'm going to go to Vanderbilt. Like that was in my, like, I'm going to go to Vanderbilt. Like this is
insane.
If
nothing else happens,
I'm going to Vanderbilt. This is insane. And I remember like, walking back to class afterwards and just being in shock the entire walk.
Yeah.
And I sat down and Alex Gillespie was in my class and he was like, what happened? What was it? Because he immediately, when they were like, Kyler, come to the office, he was like, something's going on.
We all, and to give some feedback, so, and I'm assuming this happens to all high schools and stuff, but at Catholic, it was like we'd be in a class, and you would we would get a little call on a phone right next to the teacher's desk.
Yes.
And so it would start ringing, and like the teacher, if she was at the front, would like walk over and answer and be like, you know, hey, Kyler, you need to come up. And, like, we knew that it was, like, the football players, the big-time athletes. At that time, we didn't really have any big-time basketball recruits. They do now. But at that time, it was like...
It was either that or you got in trouble.
Correct. When mine came, it was definitely doing some stupid stuff. But, yeah, when that phone call rang, and you would know, because I remember being in class sometimes with, like, Dorian got some calls, and so he would go up. Tyler, I don't know how many classes I was in with Tyler, but he would get them. I think Spencer got some. I did. I got two, and it was like the greatest days of my life because they called me, and I'm like, what the? Did I'm
getting? Yeah, like, this is the worst,
man. What did I do? What did I do 2 weeks ago that I've forgotten about now that they're just now finding out about that I'm going to have to call my dad about? Like, this just sucks. And I came in, and it would be like, you know, or you would get the call, and you weren't going to the office. You were called up to the football.
Yeah.
And that was funny. That was funny. Yeah. So I got to go up there a couple of times and like meet with coaches and, you know, stuff like that. But incredible. I can't imagine that feeling.
And I walked back and Alex was like, what happened? Yeah. What was it? And I literally sat down and I just told him, like, I just got an offer from Vanderbilt. And he flipped out. Like, started flipping chairs over. Like, are you kidding me? Like yelling in the class.
Alex is a great guy.
And the teacher was like, Alex, shut up. Like, what are you doing? Like, calm down. He's like, Kyler is going to love it. Like, boom, boom, boom. Like, going crazy. As soon as class ended, it was like I think it was the last class of the day.
Yeah.
As soon as class ended, he sprints out of the classroom and starts running down the hallway telling every single person possible. Dude. Every single person he can. And I'm walking after him, and people were like, are you serious? Like, just constantly, are you really, really? Like, congratulations. And literally, my now wife, then girlfriend, Brianne, found out before I didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Someone else told her.
Yeah. Alex is a great guy, though.
Yeah.
And he does have that pure excitement, enjoyment. Oh, yeah. Like, he's, like, he gets hype like we do. Like, for
he enjoys people. Life. Yeah. I mean, does. That's a guarantee.
No, I love Alex. Great guy. But that's cool. So, Back to that hand. Walter coming. I'm hoping it's nothing but good things for us. Like I said, I think it would still just be so on brand that he doesn't choose the hometown team and go somewhere else. And I was listening to local radio in Knoxville today before I drove over here for work as I was leaving town, and they're talking about this, and they're saying, and this is true, this is what I agree with them on, is – if you come to, because this is what I would say, if you come to Tennessee, like, you are not going to be another guy.
No.
Like, you are going to be like a Trey Smith or like a, you know, Juwan Jennings or like a Eric Berry or like a Josh Dobbs. Like, one of these guys who people are going to be like, he's a program changer. You go to Alabama, yeah, you're going to win a national championship probably. But you're in a long line of, A'shaun Robinson, Josh Allen. I mean, there's whatever. I can't remember all of them.
Cody, who blocked the field goals versus us.
Freaking fat boy Terrence Cody.
Yeah.
But they have one every year.
Yeah.
They have one every year, and I'm forgetting all their names right now, but I'm not a Bama fan. But it's like all these guys, they've had for probably 8 years now, they've all had one every year. So it's like, yeah, you can go be one of those guys, and they're, you know, be a great fraternity, Bama and all that. But like, if you come to Tennessee, like, you could potentially be an all-timer, mm-hmm. like naming the Raptors type deal just because of when you came.
Yeah.
I also feel like this might be one of the most important things for Heupel. Like, he has to produce on the field this year, but I almost feel like getting a guy like this and maybe one or two other guys is almost more important than the field because, like, we want to see him do good on the field, but it doesn't necessarily have to equate to wins and losses.
Yeah.
We just want to see him compete, the guys play hard, show us some good offensive stuff, because then that tells us when you do get the dudes, we're going to be really good.
Yeah, because you can't expect to win every game this year because it's first year.
We don't have the talent yet.
Yeah.
But if we know that you can get the talent and we trust. We trust what you're doing on the field.
Yeah.
We know what we're watching with our eyes. That, like, this guy can coach, and when he gets better players,
yes,
he could put us in SEC championship talks or bowl wins, you know, good bowl wins and stuff like that. But then that's why I think this Walter Nolan and maybe a couple other big-time recruits could be almost even more important than what he does on the field in year one. Now, so I agreed with those guys in the local radio about, like, hey, like, this is a guy that's a program changer. Here's where I disagreed, and I thought it was so funny. They were like, they jokingly said it, like, you know, they need to give as many McDonald's bags as they can to, like, get this guy. And then they're like, no, like, we know Josh, we know that staff there, like, that's not them, they're not gonna be cheating, da da da. I'm like, first off, shut up, like, you're being so PC right now, it's not even funny. Either A, if you really believe that, you're an idiot and you shouldn't be even be a fan, because, like, we've talked about it all the time, like, you gotta cheat. You just have to be smart about it.
It happens.
Dude, like,
everyone does it.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, we should give Walter Nolan's dad and that family whatever they want to come to Tennessee. Yes. I'm not joking. Like, I'm not joking. Don't get caught and don't be dumb about it, but give them whatever it's going to take to get that kid to UT.
He's the number one recruit.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he's arguably the number one recruit. He's definitely the number one defense player and definitely, like, the number one defense line, but arguably the number one in the country.
Yeah,
yes.
But, like, you think no other school is giving little incentives to him.
Yeah.
Like, you're out of your mind if you don't think Alabama, Michigan?
I know.
Where the heck did they come from?
It's so
you know
stupid.
What I mean? Like,
it's so stupid.
Jim Harbaugh has been doo-doo recently.
Yeah.
That, like, they should have let him go. Everyone else thinks so.
That will be the one that if he goes there, I'll just be like, WTF. Like, what are you doing? Like,
at least
go to Georgia or Clemson or Ohio State or Bama. To win.
Michigan's never going to make it to the college football playoffs because of Ohio State.
Yeah, well, Michigan's not, I mean, they're just not that good.
No.
Like, so, but you have to cheat to get this guy. Like, or just do whatever you have to do to get that. Like, if Heupel and Garner and the entire staff have to go to Powell or wherever they're living in Knoxville every other weekend and be like, hey, we're here, kick us off your lawn. Like, I don't care. Do it.
Yes.
And then pass them money. Like, I hope they're paying for their house wherever they're moving to now. Like, just get the kid. Like, you know what I mean?
I need a restraining order put out.
Exactly.
Dude, that's how
exactly.
much you're hanging out.
I just thought it was so PC of the guys in Knoxville. Like, oh, we know the staff and we know those guys and they're not going to be cheating. It's like, first off, if they're not cheating, he's going to get fired in about 3 or 4 years because we're not going to be winning ball games.
Yeah, well, I think that's the part about media in whatever realm that they're in or wherever they're at. They want to interview with Heupel. They want to be able to talk to the players. They want the access to – if they say he's probably cheating and he should cheat and he should pay this guy to come here, they're not going to get interviews.
Well, I know.
They're not going to get to go in there. And that's what just sucks about – they can't be completely honest.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you can be completely honest.
No.
Because you're playing that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got a job.
That game,
if you got a job,
you know,
with a sports animal there or 104.5 here in Nashville, like, you would have to talk that same way.
Yes.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? So I get it. I get it. But, like, just don't make the comment. Don't sound like high and mighty, like, oh, I know them and they're definitely not cheating over there. These guys are good guys. It's like, I sure hope they are cheating because if not, we're not going to be anywhere any good. So.
There's no way.
Yeah, any other comments on Big Walter?
No. I mean, I think we covered it. Wish he would have gone to Catholic, but it happens.
Whatever. It is what it is. All right. We will talk about SEC Media Day real quick. I think you were busy that day. You didn't get to watch a ton of it.
Here's my thing. Yes, I was obviously, you know, during work was busy. I work outside all the time. I'm not, like, at a desk,
right.
So I can't, like, watch it while I'm doing it. But this was honestly why I asked Dan last week, what are we expecting out of, like, what do we want to see out of this? What is SEC Media Day about? Because in my eyes, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
Every time I answered a question to any media that I ever did while I was in college, it was like, I'm not giving you the full truth. Like, there's no way I can. I'm not going to tell you that this guy that I play next to sucks.
Right.
That I don't like his play and I wish someone else would play.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you that our defensive scheme or offensive scheme for that week is not a good one.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you this guy's hurt. I'm not going to tell you this relationship with this player and coach is bad. Like, I'm not going to say those kind of things because why would, like, you're giving ammo to everyone else. I mean, I think the coolest thing to come out of SEC Media Day is everyone crapping on Texas and Oklahoma. Literally, SC players being like, if they're going to be sensitive about a hand gesture, good luck playing in this league.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best thing to come out of it, because yeah. I'm not going to get any good answers out of anybody. I mean, people would just say that, like, ask me after I got done playing, like, why does Butch Jones beat around the bush? Or why does he come up with these, like, random, you know, five-star hearts?
By the way, he just said Arkansas State could be the best football program in the nation.
Of course he did. Because why would you not, as a head coach?
Yeah, but you don't have to say
it. You don't have to say it.
Exactly.
You don't have to say it, okay? Yeah, yeah. But you're going to say it publicly and then go back to your team and go, look what I just said for you guys, because I believe in you.
But those idiots are smart enough to know they're not going to ever be the best.
Eventually, you figure it out. But
no, I would disagree. When I was in Memphis and some of those coaches come in there and say stuff, they'd leave the room and the starters on the team were like, bro, what are they talking about? Like, we're trash. Like, we ain't that like that. You know what I mean? Like, yes. So Arkansas State, these kids are smart enough.
Yes, okay. I do agree, because there were times when Butch would say stuff to us and it's like, you're obviously lying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that's what I was like, in what world did you think he was going to give you any straight answer? Ever. Like, when you hear an answer from a head coach, know that that's not the straight answer. That is not the real deal answer. When they ask about the quarterback and he goes, competition is great for everything, da da da. In his head, right now, he has a starting lineup.
You think so?
Guarantee it.
Eipel?
Guarantee it. It might change each day,
yeah.
But right now, he has a 1, 2, 3, and 4 in his head. It might change the next day because he sees something, he might switch some guys around, but I guarantee he has a guy right now that he thinks, this is going to be my starter day one. Now, let me see what happens during camp. Let me see if anybody else can finagle it. I'm not going to give that out. He's literally not even letting the players know that. But I guarantee it's in his head. There's no way. He can't be a good coach if it's not.
So, I agree 1,000 kajillion bajillion percent. I don't watch opening press conferences. I don't watch media days and stuff. Like, I don't care about them.
Yeah.
But I did this year. And I did this year because of Heupel and doing this podcast. Or I don't even think we were doing the podcast yet, but I wanted to listen to see what he had to say.
We were down bad, so these hires of Danny White and Heupel were like, okay, is there going to be any hope?
Correct. Well, yeah, and I forget why. I just, like with Pruitt, I didn't care. Like when they hired him, like I didn't listen to Butch's. And maybe it's now that I am like, kind of working a desk job and stuff. So like, yeah. It's easy for me to flip up. And I did watch Heupel's entry press conference, and I did watch his media day because I'm doing the podcast with you. And everything is so coach speak, and I get that. But I try to just take something small out of each thing,
yeah.
if I can.
Yeah.
And one thing that I was very happy about that Heupel said during this is he still said like. In his own way, like, y'all are misconstruing this. Like, we're not Mike Leach. Like, I'm not throwing the ball 70 times a game. Like, I understand that we have to win the last scrimmage.
Yeah.
We have to be balanced, and we have to run.
Yeah.
And a couple people asked him that in different interviews throughout media day, at least the ones that I caught. I didn't catch all of his interviews. Yeah. But they asked him, and I'd love to hear that. Because, like, I've said it once. I'm going to say it a million times. I'll say it again 1,000 more times on this podcast. But, like, you have to control the line of scrimmage. And I feel like just being balanced. Because on defense, and I don't care if you play video games, if you played Pop Warner, you know, high school ball, college ball, whatever, like, if you know what the other side is doing, it's so easy to stop.
Yes.
So much easier to stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like he knows he needs to be balanced. I love that he's going to run the ball. And then they hit him with a question. And it was like, you want to go fast. What are you going to do when your offense isn't clicking? You go 3 and out quick, or like 1 first down quick and then punt. And I love that someone asked him that, and he was like, you know, that's where I have to understand the feel of the game. And I have to understand these different things. So I like that he said that about the feel of the game. I like that he said, listen, like, we're going to run the ball. And like,
yeah.
Our week-to-week matchups are going to dictate stuff. And then something that I've had people ask me about when I'm not on the podcast, they're like, well, Reed, like, they want to kind of like jokingly banter, argue, but they're like, you know, who do you think is going to be the starter? Or like, why do you, you know, well, he brought Milton in because he don't like any of the other guys. And I've never bought that.
No.
I've never bought that. That is so stupid. That's like me playing just, okay, I have a 5-on-5 YMCA basketball team.
Yeah.
I don't, but I'm using this as an example. So yeah. I have a 5-on-5 YMCA men's rec league. and you live in Nashville and I'm doing it in Knoxville. Well, I might have a really good team that I like, and I might have a guy who's 6'4", 6'5", and he's a pretty good down low player. But if you move back to Knoxville and I'm like, bro, come play with us,
yeah.
that doesn't mean I don't like this guy. That yeah. just means, like, I want to add another good piece to the puzzle.
Yes.
And so it's like, I've always thought that, like, if you think Joe Milton is good or could potentially be any good at all for you, like, you watch this film and you're like, hey, I didn't like this stuff they did in Michigan, but I feel like I can twerk this, I can tweak it, I can do this, I can do that. I feel like he's got that good raw, like Taylor said, like that type of stuff. Like, then I can kind of make him good for us. Or like, yeah. So I've just never liked it. Well, they didn't like what they saw, so we got to bring something else in. Like, no, like, competition is great, and that's what he said. And whether he's BSing it and I'm completely wrong, that could be. But someone asked him, and he was like, I like competition. Like, I want competition at every level.
Yes.
So, like, if we think he was good, we want to bring him in.
I mean, it's definitely true. I don't think he's BSing when he says he wants competition, because that, you know, viral video of Nick Saban when he was recruiting, he was just like, you're going to get the best competition available at practice because we have the best players here.
Right.
So don't believe, like, all the other coaches saying you're never going to play. It's like, you're still going to get better because competition.
Right.
So that is something that every coach says, because it does make them better. And yeah, for anyone who is like, Joe Milton came in because we don't have a quarterback, is dumb.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. But I'll tell you what, Joe Milton, that's a big old boy.
That is a big old boy.
That's a big old boy. Did not realize, I mean, read the height, weight, you know, understood. It's like, oh, it's kind of like Cam Newton. Like, watch film,
yeah.
But did not realize. Like, saw a picture on Vol Football to Instagram and was like, God dang.
Yeah, big boy.
He's a big boy.
So, Kyler sent me this picture. It was the first time I was seeing it on my phone. And as I pull it up now and look at it, and you'll, I know you'll put it on the YouTube video.
Yes.
Dude looks swaggy as can be.
First of all, there's a lot of effort in this that never happened with our, like, picture day stuff, because
yeah.
it was so difficult to do.
Yeah. It's, these colleges know that they have to do all this crap.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Everyone's got freaking four bands on their yeah. on their calves.
Yeah.
Like, it's
Walter
just
Nolan's like
world.
Younger Walter Nolan's like younger brother, who's like eighth grade, got to dress up in the stuff when he came on Walter's thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get it, but like you're saying, like the players that are on here now, like, it's hype, all the stuff that they get to do and videos and stuff. But, like, I'm looking at this picture. First off, the white cleats this year, filthy. They
filthy.
Look so sick.
Filthy.
So sick. He's got the
– get them black cleats out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, black cleats are lame. We're not Bama. Like, and Bama is
– Oh, that is another thing that I retweeted that he said – Heupel said, they asked him about alternate uniforms, and he was like, whatever can make people play better. So,
yeah, look good, play good, bring in recruits.
Please, those smoky grays.
Yeah.
I love them.
I didn't like that we wore the black, because I felt like that was Pruitt bringing that in, because that's Bama. They wear the black cleats. Like,
just trying to copy. But
yeah.
No one has had success doing that.
Copying or black cleats?
Just,
no.
Just trying to be Saban, and it's like, you're not Saban.
You got to be your own person.
Yes.
So I'm looking at this picture. The white cleats look sick. He's got the one sleeve on the right leg. Ooh, filthy white. It's coming out of the white pants. The visor, dude's a unit.
A unit.
So,
I mean, he does look like Cam.
Is he good? I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know.
But I bet he run through somebody. I'll tell you that much.
But we will see on practice when we get
yes,
to go to camp
exactly.
this year. We got a lot of people we're excited to look at and see and check out. So,
eyes are going
to
be very busy.
Yes, yes. And last time I felt bad because I, like, didn't want to bring my – like, I had my phone with me, but I wasn't really on it and stuff. But, like, this time I'm going to be jotting notes down, like,
yes.
you know, for the podcast and stuff, because I know it's a unique thing that we get to do, and I want to
yes.
turn around and give that to the fans or the people that listen to this and watch it. But anyways, so I don't think we brought in Milton – because we didn't like anybody.
Yeah.
If that was the case, then why would they not brought in like two or three more? And I'm not talking about the UCF guy that's a walk on. Like, I think he's literally there just for a good practice player and help these other guys learn.
Yeah.
So I still think that Harrison Bailey and Hendon Hooker could both be the starters. I mean, Maurer would probably surprise me, even though we came out of spring practice thinking that. I love his energy and his swag, but like, I just don't trust him enough on the field. And meaning, like, I don't trust him to when it's third and eight and he's rolling out to the right and he's got a guy dragging across the middle of the field.
He's going to throw across his body and make a decision like that?
Correct. And he's going to either throw a pick or he's going to airmail it. Hell, I don't even trust him to hit wide open guys.
Yeah.
Let alone make the right decision is one thing, but then when you make the right decision, you still got to execute the pass.
Yeah.
So that's some of the stuff that I brought out of media day. I'm just happy to hear about the running the ball.
Yeah.
He's not going to try hopefully not to put our defense in bad positions. So lastly, before we jump off SEC media day, I know it was something that you wanted to do as What's a player. That? Like you wanted to go to SEC media day and that was kind of like a goal of yours. And I do feel like you kind of got a little gypped out of that, but I know that that's something that we talked about and.
Yeah, it, so I only started the 2 years, so it was only two opportunities to do so. I thought I had that chance my last year, my redshirt senior year, because I had started the whole year before. I, played every game. I never missed. Other guys had missed. I was, when you looked at it, the most experienced offensive lineman we had. And in my head, it's like, okay, like you're going to bring your most senior offensive lineman. And like by the end of the season, it would have been like obviously Kyler would have gone to this, right? It just with how everything turned out. But that year it was Dobbs, Jalen Reeves-Maven, and Cam Sutton. So that's just like very hard company to go against because those guys are great.
Agreed.
They're all playing the NFL now. They're great players.
Good representatives.
They're great guys too. It's not like they didn't send jack wagons over just like bull crap. But
did you, or what year were all those guys?
They were all younger than me. That's the thing too. They were all 1 to 2 years younger than I was. I was older than all three of them. So
Dobbs stayed all 4 years.
Yes.
Cam Sutton stayed. Did Cam Sutton leave early, or did he stay all 4 years?
He stayed all 4 years because I'm pretty sure 2016 was all of their last years.
And Reeves Maven stayed all 4 years. Because
he didn't start until his second or third year because his first year he played all special teams.
Correct. Yeah. So they definitely could have brought you and brought a Reeves Maven or a Cam Sutton the next year or whatever. And I get it.
I mean, it could have.
Yeah. And I get taking Dobbs.
And
you
know, I think
he's the quarterback. You got to take him almost type deal.
And I think. I don't know what the rules were then. I don't know how many they took the next year, but I'm pretty sure it was Dobbs, Kamara, and Sutton.
The next year.
Or Dobbs, Kamara, Reeves, and Sutton. I don't know if they could take four, but like it was those four were the leaders of that team.
Yeah. And I wouldn't expect you to go before you started your junior year because you had
that one was tough. There was another guy in my class in Matt Crowder who was an offensive lineman that went instead of me. And my redshirt junior year, he was also going to be a starter for the first time. He had got more playing time at the actual center position as an actual offensive lineman the year before. So
in my opinion, not a better player than you, but he maybe had just played more. And so Butch was like, all right, whatever.
And Butch was thinking, like, okay, this is going to – like, because the center is supposed to be the leader of the offensive line. And, that whole thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I just missed out on that. I wish I would have got that opportunity.
It would have been a very cool experience.
Very cool. Yeah. Just to have that
– memory.
Flying down. Yeah, I mean, it's a private jet you go down on and, it would have been a lot of fun.
I think so too. I would have loved for you to do that, and I definitely thought there was a chance. But I get it. Like we said, we're not knocking those other guys. Lastly, before we wrap up, we did want to talk about. So actually, real quick, it was funny. A couple podcasts ago, we talked about our two latest offensive line in Messiah Reddick and Maurice Clipper.
Yep.
Maurice Los Angeles Clipper.
Yeah.
And I, at the time of that podcast, I had not watched the highlights.
Yeah.
So.
And I was excited to see what you thought.
Correct. And so I went that night and I watched the highlights. Okay. And then some time went by. That podcast came out and I was re-listening to this portion of it. It was funny. I was in the shower. I was listening to it. and you know, doing my game reps, bro. I'm watching film. I gotta try to get better.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I sound like an idiot. Right,
yeah. Skip. So I'm listening to what you're saying. And I'm like, I think Kyler might have. I was like, I don't think he did, but like the way he's describing, it's like I think he got these guys backwards. Because the film I watched, I was like, I thought Clipper looked good. I thought he did finish some plays. I thought there were plays where he showed him in space. It showed him pulling. I was like, and then when I saw him beside Reddick, I'm like, bro, this looks like he's playing against some JV kids. And like, not that he wasn't playing hard. I just wasn't very impressed.
Yeah.
So it was funny. I bring this back up to you. And I'm like, I think you might have gotten wrong. You're like, no, I don't think I did. And you're like, but I'll check. And so we get here tonight and we watch both of them together. And I'm like, see, like, I kind of like Clipper. Like, I think he's pulling well, he's got a little bit of nasty in him, and you're like, and then I showed you the Messiah Reddick that I watched, and yeah, you're like, whoa,
this is not
the film I watched. So anyways, I had gone to Rivals and watched the clip that they have of Messiah Reddick's highlights on Rivals.
Yes.
Kyle was like, no, like, that's not what I watched. He went to Messiah Reddick's actual huddle.
Yes, that is the only way they share.
Correct. And I'm glad that Kyler told me that, because I get in a bad habit of just watching it. And sometimes I'll watch it off their own Twitter bios.
Yeah.
Which I
get. They usually do on their huddle.
But some of these other ones from 24 or from Rivals, it's like
Scout.
Or Scout. Someone else could have put something on there. So I went to Messiah Reddick's and we started laughing and joking. I was like, okay, hold on. I was like, now I see what you're talking about.
Yes.
And that highlight tape was, the nasty was there. Mm-hmm. The athleticism, he looked like a completely different player than the highlight I would watched.
The growth that he had with the highlight you watched and what I watched is incredible, just in his ability, in his nastiness, and also in his size.
Yes.
Man, he got so
everything
much
looked better. He was everything looked better.
I mean, he's a very big individual to start with, but like, and like I said, I'm not putting down Clipper. Like, he's still a good player. There's a reason why he's so highly touted, and like, it is a good recruit for us.
Correct.
But some of the stuff I saw in Reddick's film was more impressive to me.
I got more excited about it.
Just like to see that kind of stuff. And I don't know, and we even said this, like, sometimes guys put good plays on, sometimes guys put bad plays on. They don't even realize it's not good plays.
Yeah.
And like one play that Maurice Clipper has on there, I think it's his second play that's on there. It's a pass protection where he dumps a guy, but it's literally just him setting back at right tackle and then just like torquing and flipping. That is the easiest thing in the world to do. The guy's running that way.
I don't disagree.
It's not impressive, and you shouldn't put it on your highlight tape.
I don't disagree. Kids might think it looks good because you're dumping a kid or throwing a guy.
Yes.
But like, I hate that stuff too when I see these videos of people at camps without pads on.
Oh, it's the freaking worst.
Some of this stuff is so nightmarish. Like, there's not many things that. It would have to take me a while to sit here and think of something that would embarrass me. Like, I just don't get embarrassed easily, and I don't really think things are very awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I just think situations are what they are. But there are times I'm watching stuff on a social media of these camps, and it's so cringeworthy. And I'm just like, I just want to be like, what are you doing? And then these coaches, like, I have no idea their affiliation. I have no idea if they're ever coached. Some of them could be really good. Like, I'm not being judgmental because, I mean, for goodness sakes, our middle school team had four coaches. One had coached in college, NFL, and NFL Europe. Two of them had played at UT. One of them played at UT and the NFL. Like, these guys had all been around the game. So these weren't like dads coming to coach us.
Yeah.
Like, these were legit guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that at these camps there aren't some of these type of guys.
Yes.
But I also don't know if it's some jock sniffer type guy who never played but wanted to be around the game, and now he just loves being around these high school kids. And so when someone does something completely not right, and I love when guys like Jeff Schwartz and some of these other ex-NFL guys that have a pretty good personality
and they're like, this is the most BS.
Yeah, they are good, not necessarily personality, but a good following or something on Twitter. And they're like, this is dumb. Like, this ain't real. Like, this is not real life.
Those open field tackle drills with the skill guys.
Yeah.
And it's literally a 20x10 area.
Yeah.
Is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. No pads. I'm like, bro, this is never going to happen.
I don't even like some of the offensive and defensive alignment stuff, though.
Without pads, an offensive lineman will never win a drill.
I agree.
Because you cannot grab a hold and lock him down. I'll tell you what, it can demoralize a defensive lineman if your hands are fast and you grab a hold of just one side of his shoulder pad, right here in his chest plate,
and
you stop him and you have a strong arm, and he just... He can't do anything with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, now I beat you. But then you go padless, and the defensive lineman bull rushes.
Yeah, every time. Every time.
It's like, what do you expect me to do? We don't have pads on. I can't freaking headbutt you while you're trying to bull rush
right,
me.
Right, right.
So it's just the worst.
Yeah, it is.
Those camps like that are so dumb.
It's all. I feel like a lot of it's just money grabs. Like, these guys just setting up camps like, bring your kid here and see if he gets noticed. And it's like, okay, cool, we'll be there. And it's like, come to, you know, Franklin Road Academy, 11 a.m. for registration. It's like, you know, $115 a kid. We'll give you a shirt. It's like, jeez. Like, you know, maybe we're in the wrong business, I guess.
I know.
All right, so I want to talk about, last thing to wrap up here is Cam Miller from Memphis, 4-star. It's easy now that I have all this pulled up. I didn't have to write my notes down. 6'2", 205. I love the size.
Just do this more often.
6'2", 205. And then, listen, you guys know I love the look. He had Bama. He's got Arkansas. He's got Auburn. He's got Florida. He's got Florida State. You know, Mississippi, Ole Miss, Vandy. We got him. He's an in-state kid.
Yep.
But sometimes it's hard to get some of those Memphis guys.
It is. Because they feel like they're from a different state.
Correct. It is so far away. Even though, if you think about it, I really do feel like we've had better luck with some of the West Memphis, West Tennessee
instead of East.
No, West Tennessee compared to
Middle.
I agree,
I'll tell you what, that class that had Barnett, Josh Malone, Jalen Hurd, that was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I agree.
Coming from Middle Tennessee. So.
I agree. But still, I just feel like there's so many guys that we miss out on that it's like, and if these guys are from 1995 to 2003, like, we're not missing out on Jalen Ramsey. Like, we're not missing out on, like, Jacoby Stevens. We're not missing out on, like,
Cobb from East Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even know if we really missed out on Cobb. I just don't know if we gave him an opportunity to play quarterback. I don't really know.
He was a great wide receiver in the NFL, and that's what he should have played, but they didn't have anybody at Kentucky.
Well, no, I think coming out, he wanted to play quarterback, and Fulmer would do that.
So dumb.
And even, like, a guy like Patrick Willis, like, I never understood why Patrick Willis didn't come to us. Like, he literally only had Memphis, and then very late Ole Miss came on.
Yeah.
But it was like, and I found out later as I got older and I asked, but, like, he was dying to come to Tennessee. But we took a guy named Dylan Brooks, I think was his name. He was a 4-star quarterback or 4-star linebacker. He never really panned out. But it's just like I said, like, there's guys from Middle Tennessee – like I said, I'm not a recruiting guy, so we didn't get them. But I don't even know that they're from Middle Tennessee until I'm, like, watching a game on a Saturday. Yeah. It's like the starting middle linebacker from Texas A&M from Nashville. I'm like, wait, what? He's a good player. Like,
yeah.
The safety, like, I think it was Jacoby Stevens, or the safety from here. He's like a 5-star, goes to LSU.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are we – like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's like I said, if this is 1995 to 2003, like, these guys are all going to Knoxville.
Guaranteed.
Right. If we want them, they're going to come to Knoxville.
Yeah.
And so, and then
Phil could be picky back then.
Yes, correct.
He didn't have to bring him. He brought in whoever he wanted.
Correct. And then I just feel like it's like we weren't, I guess, Tennessee, or definitely East Tennessee when we were growing up in high school. Like, it wasn't known for good football.
No, it wasn't.
And it was like you said, Randall Cobb, Dennis Rogan, Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Aaron Douglas. There was a couple different guys, but no, nothing like it is now. And so it has gotten better, but that's for the whole state. I mean, right here in Nashville, have got unbelievable athletes. Same with Memphis. So it's like, if Heupel could somehow get, we'll say if at the top 10 of the state,
mm-hmm.
if he could get 6 of the top 10, I mean, that would be a huge deal.
Yeah.
That would be a huge deal. So that's why I think Cam Miller's good. I like his size. I love his offer list. I think it's great. Obviously, he's a 4-star. I'm just ready for us to start knocking down some 4-star offensive linemen, and defensive ends.
Yeah.
Or linebackers. Because I don't – this sounds terrible, but, like, I feel like we just don't have to have the elite of the elite on offense except for quarterback. Because I think Heupel is just going to be that good.
Yeah.
I think, like, running backs, whatever. We missed out on Branson Robinson. I would have loved to have had that guy, because we do think he's a blue chip.
Yes, exactly.
But I really trust. So I'm like, give me offensive linemen, give me defensive linemen, give me linebackers and DBs.
Yes.
And it's like, I think everything else will kind of fall in place.
But, I mean, I think he kind of alluded towards that at SC Media Day. Like you said, like, it's up front league, and, like, understand that we have to have the good O-line, D-line, which is, like, if we get Walter Nolan, is just an amazing step in the right direction.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
even though he's not like the flashy defensive end that you would want. I mean, it's just still interior force.
Yeah. He can just wreck games.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think Cam Miller is good. I love that he's in state. I watched his highlight film. I liked his film. I actually didn't love it as much as Squirrels. I think I just I'm a big squirrel guy. But I thought that he, I mean, like I say, good size. He goes up. There's a lot of times he got behind the defense and he had to wait on a ball or make a diving catch because it wasn't great. One thing I did notice, and well, notice, it's not like everyone can notice if you watch the film, but like they put him at running back a lot.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool to see because it means like, hey, get the ball in this guy's hands.
We need him to touch it.
Right. Yeah. So it's like if he, you know, you can't really tell on here if he runs good routes. You know, when he gets to this, you know, when you get to college, if you can run good routes, all these guys are good athletes.
Yes.
If you can run good routes, you're smart. You know what you're doing. You're not Cordell
Patterson. You understand a play.
Yeah. I don't know if these people know this. I'm assuming they do, but like Cordell Patterson, like, guy didn't know what he was doing. Like, yeah. Zach Rogers.
I shared some stories.
Yeah. Zach Rogers, like, had to tell him what plays were. Yeah. So it's like,
look over the sideline and be like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, if you get a guy that comes out of high school, is a good athlete, can run good routes, make plays, like, you know, he's going to be a very good player for us.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about him. I'm not saying that, like, he might not pick up stuff. I'm just saying in general.
Yes.
But, like I said, I liked his film. I liked that he was at running back. It looks like he had good balance. He runs hard, good hands, good athlete, like, in-state. I like it. There was no reason not to like it. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you had any other thing that you wanted to add or anything.
No, I mean, you know, I hadn't necessarily watched him or whatever, but I am glad to see. Like, from the outside looking in, it's like, okay, this is a great get. This is a great get for us, even because we did lose on the running back. It's like, great get, getting a speed guy, getting a wide receiver. Like you said, I'm always more cognizant on D-line and O-line.
Yeah.
And just, that's what wins you games.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's what I believe.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I believe, too. I think that's why we see this stuff the same. But I'm not, yeah, I'm not going to be upset with it. Going to be upset at all. Like one of those, it's like, you need to get it because you kind of expect it to. Like, get you an in-state guy.
Get you an in-state skill guy.
Four-star, bump it up.
Bump it up, yeah. Okay, cool. Exactly. All right. That was a good pod.
I agree. makes a difference being here.
Oh, it really does. Appreciate you guys coming out, watching, listening, wherever you're listening to your podcasts or watching on YouTube. You know, rate and subscribe, like, do all that good stuff. Make some friends in the comments section. Comment all you want. Let us know. I will comment back for sure. Tell everybody, you know, friends and family. Let them know what we got going on here. If you have questions or you know, want us to touch on any subjects, you can also email us, believeintennesseefootball@gmail.com, or phone number 865-322-9232. As always, we're presented by betonline.ag, so check them out. And go Vols!
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.